Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON, chapter 9, text 3. Ashadadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamang devartante vrityu samsara vartmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. There are different levels of Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada has mentioned here. According to the development of faith, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Shraddha Vanjan Hoy Bhakti Adhikari Uttam Maddam Anishta Shraddha Anushari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one who has faith can take up devotional service. And according to the level of one's faith, one is classified as a topmost, middle level, or neophyte devotee. Now in Gita, Lord Krishna also describes four kinds of people who take to devotional service. I think you know that verse. Chatur vidha bhajante ma jana sukritin arjuna arto jignyasur arthati gyanicha bharatarshava. Now, these four kinds of pious people who take to devotional service are described as those who are distressed, those in need of wealth, desirous of wealth, those who are curious, and those who are in knowledge of Krishna. Of these, Krishna says, Udara Sarva Evaiti, Gyani Tvatmeva Me Matam, that all of these are liberal or good souls. But the jnani, one who is in knowledge, here jnani doesn't mean a speculative philosopher, but one who is in knowledge of Krishna, he is the best. Because he comes with knowledge of Krishna and faith. That means his faith in Krishna is more developed. Others are coming to Krishna, but they don't have faith in the process of devotional service, of surrender to Krishna. They want something from Krishna. Or the jignyasa means he doesn't really have faith in, one who's curious, he doesn't have faith in Krishna, but he's interested. That's why we see many people come to Krishna consciousness, but they remain as a mixed devotee. Means they don't fully give their faith. They don't fully have faith in Krishna. Here Krishna says that without that full faith, you won't get the result of devotional service, which is love of Krishna. And furthermore, we don't have to continue in repeated birth and death. Now, liberation from material existence is considered a byproduct of chanting the holy names of Krishna. But on the other hand, bahujanme kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta napai Krishna padi prendam. If we chant Hare Krishna in an offensive way, then even after many lifetimes, you won't be at love of Krishna. You'll remain in this repeated birth and death. The offenses, it's said that we should chant without offenses, but actually, the offenses are what you, in computer terminology, you could say it's offline. When you're not chanting, or that it goes on even when you're not chanting, even when you're not connected. The offenses such as, well, what are the offenses? Number one, sadhuninda. Number two, to consider demigods to be equal to or independent of Vishnu. Now this is very common. We see many people, they like to chant Hare Krishna, but they maintain attachment to some demigod, or maybe not even to some demigod, but to some bogus incarnation. Yesterday I was reminded to speak on this topic by the wife of... I was thinking to speak on this topic anyway, but other things came up in the meantime. Parameshwar Gaur, Prabhu's wife, had told me that she knows someone in Sharjah who's chanting Hare Krishna for quite some time now, but still attached to Shirdi Sai Baba. So it's nice chanting Hare Krishna, but if we remain attached to this, to demigods or to so-called incarnations, yogis, whatever, then that's not what Krishna wants. Krishna says, Sarvadhanan Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Surrender to me only. In the Bible, at least in the translation we have, said that God is a jealous God. This comes up in the discussion where the Jews at the time of Moses were worshipping idols. It means they may have been worshipping some demigods, or more likely something like Gramya Devatas or spirits, or they're making some image. So this came out that Jesus, that God told Moses, tell him I'm a jealous God. I don't like them to worship anyone else. Of course, that's not a very good terminology, because jealous, that gives the idea, name dvesho stina priya. I'm not envious of anyone, Krishna says. I'm not envious of anyone. But the point is being made that he doesn't like his devotees that, okay, you worship Krishna, you worship someone else. This is actually the Mayavada idea, the panchopasana. You worship Vishnu, Surya, Ganesh, Shiva, and Shakti as all the, they're all different manifestations of what is ultimately an impersonal absolute. So we see, I mean, this is one example. I also know people who have been chanting Hare Krishna for many years. They read Prabhupada's books. They like to do service. But they're still attached to demigod worship. They've been doing with their family, Ishta Deva, Ishta Devata. Now, of course, it may be very difficult. Some places we go to, we're traveling to in India, and we meet people, and they say, well, you know, we've been worshipping this demigod in our family for the last 2,000 years, and, you know, you expect us to change. Yes! In the last 2,000 years, maybe, how many more thousands of years are you going to go on taking birth and death to worship some demigod? Now, that's the whole point. Why are you worshipping demigods? Why do people worship demigods? What does Krishna say? Because their intelligence is distorted with lusty desires. Hrita-jnana, that nashta-buddhi, their intelligence is spoiled. So yes, change is required. But old habits die hard, and for those who don't really understand Krishna consciousness, then Krishna bhakti may seem to those who haven't read Prabhupada's books, it may seem to be just another manifestation of Hinduism. You see, when you worship a demigod, you do an arati, you chant some mantras, you put on some kind of tilak, put on a dhoti, at least when you're doing the arati. And you do the same thing with Krishna. And there are so many different gods. It seems like the same for those who are not in knowledge. Those who don't, when Krishna says, here, those who don't have faith, they don't attain me. That means to not have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll find so many people say, yes, yes, we believe in Krishna. We believe in all the gods. But that's not actually believing in Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means some kind of general vague faith, but that's not Krishna. That's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna wants. Krishna consciousness means to surrender to Krishna only, without diversion. In the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they're so traditionally so strict that Sri Vaishnavas, they wouldn't enter the temples of even Lord Shiva or anyone else. And of course, nowadays we see most of the traditional Sri Vaishnava families, they're worshipping Sai Baba or Kalki Avatar. Well, why? Why? How has that come about? They've come from such a strict position to such a degraded, abominable position. That a few years ago in Sharjah, it happened in Bahrain also. They brought me to one home. You know the name? Lakshmi Narayan, his name is. I had a nice picture of Ranganatha Swami, that traditionally they've been worshipping, but I saw also Sai Baba. So I blasted them. I said, but, no, I didn't find it funny at all. It was very painful to see. And I told him, it's very painful that you come from such a nice background, such a nice sampradaya. All your forefathers are weeping that our descendant is doing such a rascal thing, is worshipping this bogus person. And again, in Bahrain, they took me to one program, and they must have, some Sri Vaishnav home, and they must have heard something like this, so they cleared everything away. But then I went in, after the program, I went in one room just to change, and I saw they had all the Sai Baba pictures taken down and hidden away. So I came out again after the program and told them, what is this rascal doing? That I said, that was the first time I saw they had the Sai Baba Subrabhata. No, it's very, very, very rascal. That they have the Venkatesh Subrabhatam, but just they have all the words and they just change. Very simple. Now these people may be superficially pious, and even they'll chant Hare Krishna, Govinda and everything. They're all going to hell chanting Hare Krishna because they think they've taken this rascal to be God. And they've put it, they've taken this chant for Venkatesh and put his name instead. Very, very simple. Very, very simple. So such people, they may be superficially doing bhakti, but actually they're very, very simple. They don't actually have faith in Krishna. They're superficially pious, but actually they're very sinful. Through bad association, they become attracted to such a sinful thing. So, how to deal with this? Of course, worship of demigods, those who are mixed up with worship of demigods, is not as bad as worshipping some sinful person. Right? The demigods, they're not sinful. But the worship of them, considering them equal to Krishna, or even to worship them for any material gain, it has the seeds of sinful desire. Because to worship demigods for material gain, to worship anyone, even Krishna for material gain, means that we're envious of Krishna. There can be worship of Krishna when you're envious of Krishna. Because if you're worshiping Krishna, give me this, give me that, so I can enjoy separately from you, that's also sinful. But coming to Krishna, Krishna is very kind. It's just the fact that we're worshiping Krishna, there's some opportunity of being purified, especially if we associate with pure devotees of Krishna. But worshiping demigods for material gains, we see Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they're also worshipping demigods. It doesn't mean that because you're worshipping demigods that you're a very pious person. You can be a very sinful person. Who is more sinful than Ravana? His whole idea was, he's worshipping Lord Shiva, but his whole idea was to steal Lakshmi from Narayana, steal Sita from Ram. So people are coming, and mostly Hindu means, mostly, no, all. Hindu means confused. In this material world, everyone is confused, but the confusion is compounded in Hinduism. In many ways, it's more compounded because there is such a big panorama of confusion, especially in what to speak of demigod worship. There are so many bogus ideas which have gained prominence, and it becomes more confusing because you see sadhus who are very popular, and some of them, they're very moral. They may be, I think many of you know Vasu Ghosh Prabhu. I just had an argument with him in Baroda because some Swami Narayan people came and they wanted to do a display in our temple that don't eat meat, don't smoke cigarettes, don't drink, I don't know, drink tea, I don't even say that, don't watch TV. And I said to them, no, you shouldn't do this, because you're sinful. You're promoting a jiva as God. So even though these ideas may be good, but your ultimate idea is very sinful. So I had some argument with Vasu Ghosh Prabhu. He's saying, well, after all, these are Bhagavatam principles, and they're not directly promoting. Anyway, they got the message from me, they weren't wanted, and they didn't come. And Vasu Ghosh Prabhu was also, he didn't mind that they didn't come. But you see, the point I'm making here is that in many ways they seem like very good and pious people. I agree with all those things. That we shouldn't eat meat, we shouldn't smoke, we shouldn't drink, we shouldn't watch TV. But as I said to them, it's better to eat meat, watch TV and all these things, and to know nothing than to not do all these things and think that a jiva is Bhagavan, which is what the Swaminarayan people do. That's more sinful. Eating meat due to ignorance or whatever it may be, that's very sinful. Even in ignorance, it's still sinful. But to think that the jiva is God, that is more sinful. Because it's directly offensive to Krishna. But people are confused. They see, oh, this is very moral, this is very good, is very pious, and it is, but it's absolutely all the morality and the piety is all wiped out by the sin of being directly offensive to Krishna. So people are confused, because on the one hand, the sadhus who are preaching this, they appear to be very good, but on the other hand, their ideas are so bad. If we actually understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, then we'll understand these ideas are so bad that this is going to bind people up in material life and send them to hell for so many lifetimes. It's already hellish. So, but people don't know. They don't understand philosophy and they think, you know, well, seems pretty good. It's very popular. A lot of people praise them. Of course, the Bhagavatam is also commented on this. Svavidvara hoshtra karai sangstuta purusha pashu nayad kana patopeta jatunama gadaga jaha. Bhagavatam states that those who praise others who don't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're simply like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. They're animal-like. In fact, that's being kind to them, because the hogs, dogs, camels, and asses in that status, they don't do such nonsense as worshipping the jiva as God. But they became hogs, dogs, camels, and asses because they did that. They do things like that. So it's saying men like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, because that's what you end up as. They're preaching some bogus philosophy, and then they'll get the body of a donkey, which is also makes a big noise, simply a disturbance. Carrying a heavy weight, useless for itself. So people don't know, they're confused. They may be good souls superficially, but they get captivated by the wrong idea. And they think, well, you know, if we go to this Baba, we'll get some blessing for material benefit. And they may do. I mean, so many people are going to all these bogus things, Sai Baba and this and that. And presumably they're getting something from it, otherwise why should they go? They must be getting some kind of material benediction. Something. It may be that this certain people, they're born with certain yogic powers from previous life, whatever it may be. That doesn't mean that they're good people. Just like Hiranyakashipu had so much mystic power by his austerity, but he was a demon. So similarly, some Baba, someone may be born with some mystic powers by which they can bless you, in which your business goes on better. Actually, that's not the business of a sadhu at all, to give you such blessings. The blessings of a sadhu is to give Krishna consciousness. Not to entangle you more in material life by giving your business will improve. And what's the value? Unless you give everything to Krishna. But even if you want to give everything to Krishna, that's for Krishna to decide what's best for you. That the sadhu doesn't take the role of Krishna. Yes, your business will improve. That's for Krishna to decide what's best for the jiva at that particular point in time. I've seen that this blessing business, such nonsense things. Once I was in Bengal, and there was one of these gosais, these blessing machines. They give their useless blessing. They have no austerity, but they give blessings. And foolish people, they think, oh good, I got blessed by a gosai. So one old widow came up to this gosai. She was almost going blind. She's very old. And she said, she asked, please give me a blessing, I'm going blind. And the Gosai said, don't worry, God will look after you. What a nonsense thing to say. She's going old, she's going blind, he should say, you're going blind and old, you chant Hare Krishna. You're not going to get better. It's the time of life. Why, there's a sign that your eyes are going, it's a sign that you should open your eyes to Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and get out of this material world. The Gosai himself has no such idea. He gives blessings, so-called blessings, and takes money. So he's cheating. I think I told this here once before. Once I was at Chitrakoot. So we were going around the hill. There's a parikrama. So there's one banyan tree there. There was some Purohit or whatever, Panda. So completely stereotyped. There I was in sannyas dress. I guess they don't get so many sannyasis. So I was completely stereotyped. He said, come and do the puja here. You'll get money, children, and so good health and all these things. I said, look, you know, can't you see I'm a sannyasi? He says to everyone, you get money, children, all these. And anyway, these days people don't want children, but he's just doing whatever his father taught him. They want, you know, they're having birth control, they don't want children. I said, look, I'm a sannyasi, I don't want children. Another thing is that if you can get money, you do the puja and get the money, don't try and take it from me. You get the blessing, and get the money yourself, and don't try and get 10 rupees out of me. You know what he said. So this blessing business is going on. People take, oh, God is a blessing machine. Sadhu is a blessing machine. Different demigods are there. Try this one, try that one. They don't have faith in it, or understanding of the transcendental reality. So Krishna consciousness means change of mentality. Of course, Indian people, in many ways, are Krishna conscious by birth. That tendency is there to have faith in Krishna. They like to chant Hare Krishna. Some of them, many of them, more than in other countries. So that's very nice. But it's a confused, mixed up kind of Krishna consciousness without any proper faith, because it's not based on Shastric understanding. Therefore, what to do with such people who are coming and still they're not taking up faith? Well, we can separate the wheat from the chaff, as the English say. You know, I guess most of it would be the rice from the husk. The rice means the part you want to cook, and the husk you feed to the cows. So the part is separating the substance from the insubstantial. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. So how to bring those who are inclined to be faithful in Krishna up, and how to help those who are confused in this way, and how to get rid of those people or any way of disturbance, is to study Prabhupada's books. Now, of course, many of you are reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada once asked one of his disciples, are you studying my books? And he said, yes, Prabhupada, I read your books every day. Prabhupada, I didn't ask that. I asked, are you studying my books? There's a difference. We were just discussing in Sharjah midday, they were asking about how we should conduct our cell programs and bhakti viksha programs. I recommended that you take up systematic study of Srila Prabhupada's books. They're saying, well, we don't, every week, you know, we have to have a different program, we have to think what to do. There is a book called the Bhakti Shastri Study Guide, which they told me you had a copy of that. Is that right? Which it takes several months to go through. And it's mostly just based on Bhagavad Gita as it is. And you have to write their questions and answers. And you have to write notes. And if by the time you write the notes, it'll be more than the book. More than this. But that will help you to have a very good hold on Bhagavad Gita as it is. And anyone who has understood this Bhagavad Gita as it is, they can never be diverted to Mayavad, bogus demigod worship, or any such thing. They'll understand very clearly, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is to be served, he is to be worshipped, and everything else is simply a diversion. So I recommend that you take up the study of Prabhupada's books. That will help you. more, to become fixed, all of you to become very fixed. After all, Prabhupada wrote these books for the whole future of the Krishna consciousness movement, so that the absolute truth is delineated here very clearly. Krishna has delineated the absolute truth in Bhagavad Gita, and so there's no confusion. Prabhupada has given his purport. It's absolutely clear. Anyone who reads Prabhupada's book with faith, then they will understand very, their faith will increase more and more and more, and they will they'll understand very clearly that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the only purpose of our lives is to surrender to him through the process of devotional service. Now, we all may theoretically agree with that, but to make our faith very strong and immovable, and to give us the knowledge by which we can, and conviction by which we can convince others, this study of Srila Prabhupada's books, that is required. Beginning with Bhagavad Gita as it is, that's the foundation. Even Srimad Bhagavatam, all the points in Gita are elaborated upon, but the foundation is Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna explains all the essential points succinctly, which are elaborated upon in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I request you to study this very carefully and understand these points very carefully, that we're not against demigods, but demigod worship is not encouraged. But also we may enter the temple, Gaurya Vaishnavas will they'll enter the temple of a demigod and offer respects and ask the blessing of the demigod that please help us to become Krishna conscious. But we don't regularly worship demigods. That's not required. Sarvadeva Maya Guru, the Guru who's actually representing Krishna, is the sum total of all the demigods. Prabhupada was asked that, why don't we worship Ganesh? Because he's Vigna Vinasha. The Prabhupada said that we worship the spiritual masters who, by their blessings and their instructions, they remove the obstacles on the path of bhakti. Ganesh is worship for removing material obstacles, which may also come in the way of bhakti. There may be so many material obstacles, but a pure devotee's attitude is whatever obstacles are there, we don't ask to remove. Whatever it may be, it's Krishna's mercy. But the real obstacle is my own stupid mentality of attachment to sense gratification. So we pray to the spiritual masters and we take instruction from them how to remove that. Another point is that demigod, we don't encourage that. Someone may be worshipping a demigod in their family tradition. We may say, well, why don't you just continue that and do Krishna consciousness side by side? Because the connotations that go with demigod worship is that of it's basically conducted as a materialistic activity. And demigod worshippers, also if you have to associate with demigod worshippers, they're materialistic people. Usually Mayavadi, they have it's Hindu religion, as Prabhupada writes in one purport, it's going on demigod worship running on the background of Mayavad philosophy. That they think, well, all the gods are the same and actually there's no real God anyway. Or if there is, I'm probably God or just as good. This is the wrong. There are so many permutations and combinations of wrong ideas in Hinduism, but mostly they all stem from the Mayavad idea that everything is all the same. All the gods are the same. There's no real God anyway. So many rascal ideas. But these will all be burned out of the consciousness by studying Prabhupada's books and chanting the holy names of Krishna. Now, one family tradition we're talking about is there may be a family tradition of worshipping demigods. There are also other family traditions that people tend to be attached to. Just like if you're born in a Brahmin family, then you're expected to give your son an Upanayanam ceremony, which is completely meaningless from the spiritual point of view, or practically from any point of view, because they don't usually chant anyway. Or even if they chant, they don't do all the Sandhya Vandanam and they can't follow everything. So it's the Upanayanam ceremony mostly, it's a social function, which you're expected to do. If you don't do it, your relatives will, you know, they'll think, they'll protest and you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, you know, show that we're a member of the Brahmin caste. But it's simply enforcing the bodily concept of life, that we're members of the Brahmin caste. Which, who's a Brahmin? Previously, the members of the Brahmin caste, they may have been Brahmins, but nowadays they're all Shudras, mostly. Some of them are Vaishyas, running their own business. Even that, not properly pious. To maintain it. So, it may be unavoidable in the modern age, which makes us all like dogs and hogs. Maybe. But to claim that we are Brahmins when we're not Brahmin, yes, we're giving Brahmin initiation. That on the spiritual platform, the understanding of Vaishnav is anyway more than a Brahmin. So just for recognition, yes, you're a Brahmin. Chant Gayatri Mantra. But if we think that on the material platform, I'm a Brahmana and this is my caste, and this has got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, simply on the bodily platform. And to do that, it's simply going along with some social convention which is antithetical to Krishna consciousness. To not do it, of course, requires courage, because the relatives, what will they think, and this and that. But how long are we going to remain dictated to by relatives who are on the bodily concept of life? And how long are we going to do that and not be attached to Krishna and what he wants us to do? So, we should consider these things. That we have to follow Krishna, his way of doing things. One of the leading devotees in the Gauriya Math at the time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, shortly before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's departure from this world, his mother died, and then at the appropriate time, he performed the Shraddha ceremony according to smarta rites. Despite Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur got wind of this was going to happen. And he told him, you can't do this, this is very bad. You're a leading devotee, this shows you have actually no faith in Krishna consciousness. If you follow the smarta rites, you can do Shraddha ceremony in the Gauriya Vaishnava system according to the rites in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, according to Gauriya Vaishnava system. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted to do it according to their family priests, traditional family priests. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very upset. This will spoil everything that we're doing. If you, as a leading devotee, you show your lack of faith in what our Vaishnava Acharyas have given us, and you're simply considering that we have to follow our family tradition, which is on the bodily concept of life. He was very sorry, very upset. So, actually, to be Krishna conscious, it means to make a break with things we've done in the past, even those which our forefathers have been doing for many, many generations. And which, that may have, of course, that's also, that could be called dharma. Just like in Gita, Arjuna talks of kula dharma sanatana. I was just talking about that, upholding the family tradition. Upholding the tradition within the family. I was talking about that last night. But what I'm talking about is upholding the... Within the Hindu culture, there are many good things. But those, you have to know which is favorable for devotional service and which isn't. And those, that of course has to be explained by acharyas. Therefore we have books like Hari Bhakti Vilas, which says, do like this. Actually, you don't have to do Shraddha ceremony at all. You can just chant Hare Krishna. Or even if you don't do any particular ceremony, just by chanting Hare Krishna and having faith in Krishna, that will benefit your deceased forefathers more than any particular ceremony. But if you want to do, you can do by the method given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. But that's why Gopal Bhatta Goswami has given this. Is that Hari Bhakti or Satkriya Saradipika? Two books he wrote. Satkriya Saradipika. That means how to perform the... Satkriya Saradipika means how to perform all these rites and rituals. But why he wrote this? So that devotees can follow these things. Gaudiya Vaishnavas can follow these things. Otherwise, if they follow the smarta means that they're simply following the smritis without any understanding of what the purpose of the shastra is. They're very particular to follow so many different rules and regulations without understanding the purpose of the shastra. And in this way, they miss the whole point of the shastra, and for all they're following all the Vedas and this and that, mrityu samsara vartmani, they come back to birth and death. As Krishna says here, they don't have faith in Krishna, and they remain on the path of birth and death. So Krishna consciousness, in one sense, it's a break from many, I guess in the Western countries, this would be more so. But in Indian, for Hindu families, it means fruition or the coming to bloom of whatever Hinduism or whatever culture you had before. But it also means chopping out all the bad things. When we say, sometimes we say, oh, Hindu culture is very nice, and sometimes we say, oh, Hinduism is all rubbish, and both things. We say, what does that mean? I mean, the culture is, the original culture is very good, but so many things have been thrown in that there's so many bad things also. So all the wrong, when we say Hinduism, all rubbish, that means that all the wrong ideas, which is mostly what's going on in modern Hinduism, it's mostly all wrong ideas. Any idea except Sarvadhaman Paritya Jamami Kamsharanam Raja is a wrong idea. But they've introduced Jyota Mat Totopat, unlimited paths. Whatever you think, it's all okay. So again, we have to understand on the basis of Shastra what is correct and what is not correct. What Hindu culture, there are so many good things. How you dress, how the family life is going on, how you respect elders, how you respect sadhus. We should offer our food before we take all these things. So that is very good. But the misconceptions that have been blended in with that, they cause repeated birth and death, which the Hindu or Vedic culture is meant for coming free from birth and death. But so many wrong ideas have got mixed up that it simply get repeated birth and death by following all the wrong ideas. Therefore, again, the Shastra said, what the Acharyas explain the Shastra in such a way that those who are sincere can appreciate that, yes, this is the actual purpose. But then we have to follow what is given. And that may require something which we feel is almost like part of our existence. Just like in my finger, we feel it's part of me. Actually, it's not part of me. It's part of the present body which I have, but we feel so intimately connected. When the bug bites, you feel the pain. So in the same way, along with the body, we have the bodily concept of life by which we think, I am a smarta brahmana, and I have to follow all these rituals. And if someone says we shouldn't follow it, it's like saying, it's like cutting off your finger or having the bug bite in your finger. It may feel very painful. But actually, it's not you. You are not a smarta brahmana, and these rituals are not meant for the upliftment of the soul. The way they're going on, they actually cause entanglement of the soul and material bondage by reinforcing the bodily concept of life. And reinforcing all the wrong ideas which come with smartaism, which is Mayavad. Now, the question may come, well, what about those who are coming from backgrounds, for instance, of Ramanuja Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas? That's a different case. That these are bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas. At the same time, we have to take the good things out, and it's mostly all good. But on the other hand, if we identify, I'm a Madhva, I'm a Brahmin. No, is it? Birth? Oh, it's very strong among Madhvas that we're Brahmins by birth. We are the saved Jivas. All the others go to hell. If you, according to Madhva philosophy, that the only hope to get free from birth and death is to be born in a Madhva Brahmin family. It's an unusual idea.
Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So we have, I mean, we have some, there are, even though we're Madhva Sampradaya in one sense, but there are some differences of understanding there. I mean, even in our ISKCON, if we think, I'm a Brahmin, above and above, beyond everything else, we're servants of Krishna. That we always have to think. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Naham Vipra, I'm not a Brahmin. Nacha Narapatya, Napi Vaisho, Nashudra, I'm not any of these things. I'm not a brahmachari, a grihastha. I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm a servant of the servant of Krishna. That is my identity. So even then, if we want to, there may be ceremonies, upanayanam for the boys, but we have to say, I mean, is this realistic or not? If they're taking upanayanam, then they should go to the Gurukul and be trained by the acharya. But if it's to have any meaning, if it's simply a family ceremony, then it's meaningless. Upanayana means that they should study the Vedas. And sometimes they do that as a formality for one day or something. That's also meaningless. So to do an Upanayana, even in a good sampradaya, but simply as a formality, it's actually an insult to the previous acharyas who instituted such a system so that the training could go on, but there's no such training. So, again, we have to see. We shouldn't be attached to that which is not actually advantageous for coming up in Krishna consciousness. If we're attached to rules and rituals simply because they're rules and rituals, and, you know, well, my parents expect me to do it, and what will people say? But then why indoctrinate your children in something which is meaningless and useless? And why perpetuate something when you're supposed to have higher knowledge? Why perpetuate something which is going on the platform of lower knowledge? Even though you may be in a good sampradaya, if you're simply performing an upanayanam ceremony as a ritual, then it means you're acting on the platform of ignorance. What is this ceremony meant for? So all these things, if we go on doing these things, then it actually indicates there's something lacking in our faith and surrender to Krishna. So it requires faith in Krishna to simply surrender to Krishna. It requires faith to do that. And it requires some courage also, because there are always going to be people who are against that, who don't like that. And who will say so? And there'll be a lot of, there may be pressure from so many different people. But of course, a devotee may make some adjustment according to time, place, and circumstance. There may be some kind of placating of relatives rather than constantly fighting with them. There may be in some cases, but same time, we should understand that if we are going to attain the goal of Krishna consciousness, which is to go back to Godhead, back home to Krishna, we have to fully surrender to Krishna. And that may mean doing some things which, or giving up some attachments which may be difficult for us in various ways. But those who have faith in Krishna will do it anyway. For householders especially, how to, you know, there are certain social obligations they have which may sometimes go against the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. As much as possible, we should try to minimize these, but there may be things like you have to go to your brother's wedding and your brother's a complete materialist, or you may have to go to the office party, which is, you know, completely all full of sinful things. So there may be certain things, but as much as possible, we should minimize all these things and be bold and act on the platform of service to Krishna. There may be some adjustment. Even Narad Muni, when Hiranyakashipu was ruling the universe, even Narad Muni came and praised him. It's Narad himself states in Bhagavata. Even he came and praised him, according to, made some diplomatic adjustment according to the situation. Prahlad didn't adjust. His disciple was more bold. He didn't praise Hiranyakashipu. He praised him. He said, Asurya Varya, you are the best of the demons. called him that. Of course, Hiranyakashipu would like such a praise. But he didn't compromise it, so he just told him straight out, "You're in Maya. Go," he told him, "go and take sannyas. Vanangato yadharim ashrayet." He said, "You should go and take sannyas, take shelter of Hari," which of course just made Hiranyakashipu more angry. So that may be sometimes there may be some adjustment, but better is to, if circumstances permit, we should see what the circumstances also. For instance, if you are a householder, you have to maintain your job, so if you argue with your boss and tell him he's a demon and this and that, it may not be the best thing to do, because then you don't have a job and then you can't support your, you have to also, one of the duties of a householder is to support his family. It's one of the main duties. The main duty is to train his family in Krishna consciousness. But he has also economic, financial considerations, and along with economic and financial considerations come social considerations. That's why vanangato yatarim ashrayeta. At some point in time, you have to leave all this. Grihastha means there's some compromise may be necessary. Maybe. Generally. Some kind of compromise. But we shouldn't make compromise our way of life. Otherwise, we're not going to get Krishna. Or we may have to come back again and again, and we will have to come back again and again until we come to the position of no compromise. Savadhaman parittaja, mamekam sharanam raja. So according to the present circumstance we're in, that means family life, we may have to make some compromise. But that's why that stress is there in Shastra. Don't remain there forever. At some point, when children are grown, don't be irresponsible. When your children are grown up, you have to come out and then fully surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? It has been Gurukul Maharaj, who's no longer in the Gurukul, under his direction, a translation of that has been made. How much you may be able to do all these things, that's something else. There's so many. But you can do it, so many. You see, Hari Bhakti Vilas, this is actually a very there are some controversies surrounding this in the history of Vaishnavism, which I won't get into now. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur analyzed that Gopal Bhatta Goswami wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas with smartaism in mind, because people in that time were very much attached to so many different rituals. Krishna consciousness doesn't depend upon rituals, but people generally think that if someone's chanting a lot of mantras, and when they do something and they turn this way and they chant one mantra and then they turn another direction, chant another mantra, and everything, this should be facing east and that should be facing west and everything. People, they think, oh, this is really, this is really it. So people were very much attached to that. So he wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas so that with so many different rituals and formulas, so that one thing the smarters would think, okay, that's all right. It's not too bad. They're doing so many rituals. Another thing is that those people at that time who are taking up Krishna consciousness, they would feel, okay, this is all right. We're still doing all these things. But actually, it's not necessary. What's necessary is to chant the holy names. Even Prabhupada said that, he writes in his Bhagavatam Purport, that we were installing the deities of Krishna Balaram in our temple in Vrindavan, and we called Brahmanas from South India to do all the rituals. It wasn't necessary at all. The real installation was the chanting of the devotees, chanting kirtan, because in Kali Yuga everything is complete by kirtan. But because the people of Vrindavan think that it wouldn't be proper unless you could do all these rituals, we called all the brahmanas and did all the rituals. But actually it's not required, because everything is complete by bhakti, and bhakti doesn't depend on rituals. So of course we have arati, it should be done in this way and that way, but that's not exactly ritualism. That means that certain things should be done in a way that's pleasing to Krishna. And even all these rituals, if done for the pleasure of Krishna, they are pleasing to Krishna. That's why they are Vedic processes. the processes for pleasing Krishna, but we may not be able to do them very properly in the present age. That's why Pancharatriki system is recommended for worshipping Krishna in this age rather than the original Vedic system, because anyway no one can do that properly in the modern age. So it's not pleasing to Krishna if you try to do all the Vedic rituals and you do it incorrectly, and it doesn't work. So Pancharatriki system, in which there are also different things to follow, this and that, but the main thing is the expression of bhav. That's the main thing. That's why once Prabhupada was saying that when you're offering food, is that some mantra, not much mantra is required. The main thing is that you offer to Krishna, please Krishna, I'm very rotten, I'm very fallen, but I brought this to you, please accept it. That is required. Not. So, such rituals, yes, Satkriya Sadipika, that's been translated. I mean, you could probably take it better in the original Sanskrit, because it's mostly, if you see the translation, it's mostly all mantras anyway, which are written in Devan, in English rendition of Nagari script. But on the other hand, it may not be so important anyway to do all these things. You can do it if you like. On the other hand, you can chant Hare Krishna. And again, all these rituals, if you don't chant Hare Krishna, these rituals will be useless anyway. You have to chant Hare Krishna along with it. Because all these rituals, they depend upon desh, kal, and patra. You have to choose an auspicious time. It has to be done in an auspicious place. Where is an auspicious place nowadays? Dubai, by nature, is not auspicious. Desert means sinful. Who is born in the desert, or who has to live in the desert, it actually means sinful, because there's no trees, there's no water, there's no rain, there's no grass. It's just a sinful situation. And even the holy places in India are full of so many sinful things. So many abortions going on in Vrindavan, and so many things. So much illicit sex. So many things. Of course, the town doesn't become contaminated, but the atmosphere may become filled with bad things. So, properly we can't do all these rituals anyway. But if we chant Hare Krishna, that will make everything complete. Sadhya sadhana tatta jake chushaka harinam shankirtane milivishaka Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that. The goal of life and the method to attain it all are complete with the chanting of the holy names. I'm going to finish now because I see several people are looking at the clock. So, there are such considerations there also. It's also important to rise early and chant your rounds. Sometimes we go late many nights, but then our chanting is, and we rise late or we rise early anyway, and then our chanting is so filled with. So regulation is also an important part of Krishna conscious sadhana. Sometimes we have festivals and they go on like that. As a daily practice, we should try to rest early and rise early, so that we can chant nicely in the morning. You're going to ask a question anyway. The difference between traditional Sandhya Vandanam and the Gayatri Mantra which we're given in ISKCON. What's the difference? The difference is that in ISKCON we don't give all the other things. That is the difference. You said it. The essence is there. The chanting of the mantras. All those things there for preparation, for clearing the Bhuta Shuddhi, removing all the Bhutas, and this. You chant Hare Krishna. So many things. First, take a bath. Purification by chanting so many different mantras. Chant Hare Krishna. That's more the shraddha done by some materialistic priest. How effective is it going to be anyway? They don't know. They're chanting the mantras. They don't know what they mean. probably all the pronunciation is wrong, and they don't care anything about the soul who's departed. They have no idea where they've gone, and they don't care anyway. How valuable is that going to be? Priest is famous a job. That's all. So what benefit? The shard should be performed by a priest. It means the priest should also be a... He should be cultivating the pure qualities. But if they're not, then what is the value of anything done by such a priest? So you can have a festival on the appropriate day. Here you call the people, call everyone, have kirtan, offer prasad, keep a picture of the departed relative, give one plate like that, keep one plate for them. Then afterwards you can distribute that plate, you can give for the pigeons which have now come here to Dubai. You can leave it out like that you can do.